looking for business.
Walks like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animals, talking animals.
Good morning, and this is Talking Animals. My name's Bev. I'll be sitting in for Duncan today. We've got a very important show planned for you today. Wonderful guest, extremely important topic. We're going to be talking to Diane Anderson and Austin Mudd from Pet Peace of Mind, a program that trains hospice, home and health hospital, and palliative care organizations about the importance of pets in the lives of their patients. Their ultimate goal is to keep the pet with their patient as long as possible, and then also to make sure that the pet has a home after their owner is gone. I did want to let you know that Duncan's show from last week, part two of his Raptor special will be airing tonight on PBS. That would be Channel 3 locally. A lot of digital options as well for recording. Last week's guest was the director of Fistful of Daggers, The World of Raptors on Nature's PBS. And again, part two airs tonight. Well, we're going to hear a little bit of music and a little more information and then bring our guests in. This is Doris Day.
Next time you're found with your chin on the ground, there's a lot to be learned, so look around. Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant, but he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. He had high apple pie in the sky hopes. So anytime you're feeling bad, instead of feeling sad, just remember. So
heat wave.
Hey, Lori.
Hey, Linda.
Hey, we're the Lulus from Tuesday Traffic Jam. WMNF's Tropical Heat Wave is coming to the Cuban Club in Ybor City May 4th. And we don't want you to miss this night. 16 bands, including the sensational Barnes Brothers, Eddie 9V, Ruthie Foster, The Record Company, and Say She She.
In the Cantina, you can see Christopher James Band, Selwyn Birchwood, The Dolly Rots, Sweeping Promises, and Tiger 54.
Stop by the theater for the hip-hop experience.
Dance in the ballroom with the Real Class, Black Valley Moon, Divine AF, Soul 4, North Star, and Wah! World Fusion. Go to tropicalheatwave.org for tickets or for further information, call 813-238-8001. See you at the heat wave.
Having a heat wave.
The heat wave schedule is posted on WMNF.org. I do encourage you to check that out. Bring a friend. Bring lots of friends. It's going to be a great time in Ybor City. We're going to hear something from Ruthie Foster to close the show out today. But right now, we're going to get our guests in the studio. They are from Pet Peace of Mind, a service that hospice is offering to keep owners with their pets as long as possible. Here's a little comedy from Jim Gaffigan.
But the bear was far away. So I took out my phone and I started taking pictures. And then suddenly the bear stood up, roared, and looked right at me. Started creeping towards me, tilting his head back and forth, almost like he recognized me. That guy looks like Philip Seymour Hoffman. I was terrified. Luckily, we were with a tour guide, and I looked at him, and he goes, "Don't worry, I have bear spray." And I was like, "Do you have anything stronger? Like a bear gun? Because I don't think this bear's approaching to get his hair done." And the bear kept coming. And then suddenly, the tour guide goes, "Okay, I want everyone to start walking backwards slowly. Walk backwards slowly. I guess so the bear could catch up." So we started walking backwards slowly. By then, the bear was in a full sprint. I had surgery 12 hours ago, so I smelled delicious. I was also sunburned, so I probably looked like a giant land salmon. The bear couldn't believe his luck. Like, "I'm not gonna have to eat for a month." I'm gonna be eaten by a bear. Which is ironic, given how many animals I've eaten. So I started humming Circle of Life and continued walking backwards slowly. I should point out, it's not like we were walking backwards slowly to a car or a cabin. We were walking backwards slowly to nothing. It probably looked like we were teasing the bear, like, "Come and get it, Mr. Bear. Are you looking to get a little grizzly? Craving a little 2XL, are you?" And before you knew it, the bear was upon us, and he killed us, and we died. Such a bloody mess. No, what really happened is at one point, the tour guide pulled out this thing. It looked like a pen. I was like, "Great, he's going to ask for the bear's autograph." And I learned later on it was a bear flare, and he squeezed it, and this tiny fireball went out towards the bear. And I was like, "Oh, good, something to anger the bear." But the fireball bounced off the bear stopped, and then just ran the other way like it forgot something at home. And we all looked at each other like, "Oh my gosh, that just happened. That just happened." And that's a true story. Well, most of that's true. Well, it's all true, except there was no bear. There was a bear.
Thank you.
listening to the Soweto Gospel Choir doing Muimbe, the original version of The Lion Sleeps Tonight. In the studio with me now is Diane Anderson and Austin Mudd. We're going to talk about pet peace of mind. And I think if we would be good to start off with an overview of what hospice is for folks that might not fully understand or grasp the concept. So hop on in.
Yeah, well, hospice, I think the best way to describe it is a philosophy of care that focuses on the comfort of the patient, the family, and provides them a level of support and focusing on symptom management for the patient. I think there's a misunderstanding with hospice sometimes. People think of it as a place that you go when you have an advanced illness and you're imminently passing away, and that's not the case. Most of hospice care actually occurs in a patient's home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we ultimately want to keep them, right? We want to keep them in their home with their family, where they're comfortable.
Yes, there is an actual hospice location for people that are in their, maybe perhaps their final stages, and the family is unable to take care of them. But I understand that that's where you step in with a pet peace of mind, and the other services that hospice offers is to keep patients and families in their environment they've been in.
Yeah, and with hospice, that's a big part of it is that level of support that we provide people, such as bereavement services and other things that go with the hospice experience. Taking care of the family is as equally important as taking care of the patient, and I think that's I think the most important takeaway when you talk about hospice is, it is a 6-month prognosis that someone needs in order to get that hospice care through Medicare. But, many people, they come into our service earlier and their symptoms are managed and they feel better and they're able to make the most of their life in the time that they have left with their family.
Okay.
And pet peace of mind is just one piece of the support you can find there.
And I understand that you're referred to hospice through your physician. Is that how the initial step would be made through the...
You can. You don't have to have a doctor's referral. You can actually reach out to organizations such as Chapters Health to see about your eligibility. A doctor's referral is one way. If you have that conversation with your primary care provider, that is one way.
And I know that from my experience that there is a degree of counseling for the caregivers to get the hospice part started. So it's not left to the patient entirely, or I would guess most of the time it is the caregiver that takes the initial steps, and that's who you're kind of dealing with. A lot of time.
The family and the caregivers, as we call them, the full-time caregivers, they're really important in the process. And a big part of hospice is educating them and supporting them so that they can provide the care when our care team isn't there at the moment. They're a big part of that process in admissions and getting comfortable and identifying the goals of care that they want to reach.
And it's something that you work with the family, like kind of the goals of care, like how much intervention or lack thereof that you'd want to provide or do. Okay. Well, Diane Anderson's here, and we're going to start talking now specifically about pet peace of mind. Thank you so much for making the drive from Orlando. You're a hero for doing that. Just jump on in. Introduce yourself and what your position is and how you fit into this whole equation.
Sure. Well, no problem making the drive. It was not too bad on I-4 today, so that's good. I'm the manager of volunteer services for several of the Chapters Health affiliates, and one of the programs under my purview is the Pet Peace of Mind program. It's a wonderful program that we participate in. It's actually a national program that's designed for hospices to participate in. Chapters historically has participated for about 13 years now, with the affiliates around this area participating now for going on their second year. So it's a little newer in the Tampa Bay area than in some of the other affiliates. But we have a long history of it with the program. And so what the program is, it's got several kind of parts to it, but the two main parts are going to be keeping patients and pets together during hospice care. So we want to make sure that we don't add the pet to the long list of losses that somebody has at their end of life journey, right? We want to make sure that that pet is able to stay with them until the very end, because a lot of times that's their family, that's their best friend, that's, you know, that's who they want, right, with them at the end. So we want to make sure we can make that happen. And we do that by several different ways. We can provide volunteers to go into the home to perhaps maybe walk the dog, play with the dogs in the backyard, that sort of thing, take them to the vet's office. We can provide food to the family, pet food to the family. We can transport them to the groomers, different things like that that they might need. I don't know, you know, if anyone out there has ever known a caregiver or been a caregiver, but it's a 24/7, 365 job. So many times caring for the pet kind of goes on the back burner. And sometimes the caregiver might feel so overwhelmed that they might feel they can't care for the pet at all. And we want to make sure, like I said, that that doesn't happen. Right. So our volunteers can go out, do all of those things. And if the family meets a financial need, if the pet represents a financial hardship for the family at the time, then our program will actually pay for all of the costs as well. So it's a really amazing, amazing program that we offer. The second piece is after we've made sure that that pet can stay with the patient until the end, we want to make sure that there is a plan for that pet afterwards. So a lot of times, you know, people just kind of make an assumption. Oh, I'm sure the spouse or the daughter or the brother or the sister or the neighbor or the uncle or the cousin or, you know, someone's going to take this pet. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. So we want to ensure that there's a plan for the pet after the patient passes, so the pet doesn't end up in the shelter system. Before coming to hospice, I had over a decade in animal welfare, and I can tell you no shelter needs more pets.
Right.
So if we can keep that pet out of a shelter, you know, that's the best case scenario for the pet and for the shelter. So we want to know, you know, as soon as possible if there's going to be a situation where we need to place or help place a pet. Now, I want to make clear that we are not a rescue ourselves. We do not have, you know, a room full of kennels and attendants and things like that. That is not what we have or what we do. We use a network of fosters. So we can set up a foster system. So if a pet's going to need a placement, we can start advertising that pet. We can work to get a foster for that pet or even line up an adopter for that pet, sometimes even before the patient passes, which does help bring them that peace of mind that they know where their pet's going, where who's going to care for it, and that it's going to be loved.
Do you think it helps to have like a, is your role as a third party to come in and say to the family, this is something, you know, being overwhelmed with all the caregiving needs, let's think about taking these steps that are eventually going to be needed to be made, doing it ahead sooner rather than later.
Right. And I think that's, you know, honestly, across the board with hospice care, you know, hospice care in general is usually something that people don't want to think about or don't think about until they have to. So, you know, people don't want to think, yes, oh, I have to make these decisions or these choices, but you don't want to leave them until the very, very end, until it's too late, until you're maybe not even capable of making, you know, those decisions. So we do have a pet planning guide that comes with our program that lists out, you know, this is who's going to take my pet. This is, you know, the details about my pet. This is, and both parties sign it. It's not a legal document. However, it is, you know, still something that kind of says, yes, I do have a plan. Yes, this person has agreed. And so it just, again, helps bring that peace of mind and lets us know that, you know, that there's a plan and know what to do when that time comes.
So we've talked about this, but I'd like for you to tell the listeners what areas, if somebody were to contact hospice or petpeaceofmind.org, am I saying that correctly? Petpeaceofmind.org?
Oh, that would be the national.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that would that direct a person to a local affiliate or?
They do have a list of all the affiliates across the United States on there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if they're looking for our program specifically, I would suggest that they go to chaptershealth.org.
Okay.
And they can donate from there. They can volunteer from there. They can also email at ppom@chaptershealth.org, and that will actually come to me.
Okay.
So you can email that as well for information.
Okay, yeah, we'll repeat this information several times, but just as an overall, to get a feel for what Pets Peace of Mind offers, go to, I thought I wrote it down, petpeaceofmind.org, I believe is what it is.
Yeah,
the national
that's the national website, like Dan said.
Right.
And then, you know, you can find all those different partner organizations here in Tampa. Okay. Chapters Health, that's us. We're one of the partner organizations in Tampa.
So what kind of animals are in your program? What your patients' pets?
So I always say we will help care for any pet that's legal to own in the state of Florida. And, you know, for my fellow Floridians out there, that's a lot, right? we are able to care for a lot of pets. Mostly we get cats and dogs. That's obviously the mostly that we get. We have had, you know, different kind of birds, parakeets, you know, some of the smaller animals, rabbits. We've done like farm animals, horses, pigs, chickens, that sort of a thing. I think I was telling you earlier, we haven't had a snake yet. So, but when we do, it, you know, that's fine. As I said, it might not be my thing, but I understand if it's yours, and I will absolutely help you keep that pet and care for it and have it with you as long as possible and make sure there's a plan for it as well. So,
I think it'd be a good time, maybe Austin wants to jump back in, about how important it is to have the animal with their human. That as far as giving them not just the peace of mind, but their comfort that you're looking for during hospice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like you'll hear from pet peace of mind, you know, we know that they're not just pets. You know, most times these are our family members. Mm-hmm. And so being able to provide that support to them, you know, easing some of that anxiety about who's going to care for my pet, who's going to do these things that it needs, you know, while I'm, you know, battling this advanced illness. So I think it's just important to have that level of support, to take away that anxiety, and for the caregivers as well, because, you know, they have, you know, lives of their own that they have to take care of, jobs, children. So being able to have a program like Pet Peace of Mind to kind of take that off their shoulders and, you know, at times find, you know, homes for these pets where they can be loved and taken care of.
I don't think anybody that's a regular listener to the show would underestimate the importance of having the animal around. But I think it's just a good thing to hear and to reinforce, especially to caregivers that are dealing with other family members, perhaps, that, you know, we need to do this. We need to make sure this happens, you know, to give their loved one peace of mind and just the comfort. I mean, there's nothing better than having a cat lay on your chest and purr, you know, to make you feel better. Do you have a quick story or a long story that you'd like to relate that that you've come across?
I have a medium length story. How's
okay,
that?
That's okay.
All right. This is so we had a dog with us a little while ago. Her name was Luna, and her mom had passed away. Her human mom had passed away, and we were looking for a new home for her. And you know, usually we're able to find a home honestly fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. But Luna was taking a while. And one of our community partners, which I'm sure we're going to talk about here, the importance of the community engagement, one of our community partners, a vet's office, offered us 30 days of free boarding. So we did board Luna for 30 days. The 30 days turned into 60. The 60 days turned into 90. And we're having these conversations. You know, what more can we do to help Luna? We're advertising her, you know, as much as we can. But sometimes the universe has a plan.
Yeah.
And I do believe this was one of those times. So this is, I'm just going to paraphrase this so that it's not too long, but this was written by Luna's new adoptive mother. She says, "My life changed forever in August of 2021. With the death of my husband. I had been his caregiver for several years and also cared for my mother until her passing in 2019. I was now truly alone with no one to care for anymore. In September of 21, I began my search for a dog to be my family. I went through 64 online pages of rescue dogs and noted a few that I would like to meet. Then one evening, I was awestruck by a picture of Luna. Her eyes were so sad. She looked as lonesome as I did. Then I read about her background. Her owner had been at Cornerstone Hospice in the Villages, Florida, and died at the age of 82. My husband had been at Cornerstone Hospice and had died at 82, less than a month after Luna's mom died. The following evening, I called to meet Luna. She met me with an abundance of energy and came right up to me giving me kisses. We felt comfortable with one another and went out for a walk. It was obvious she needed some socialization, but it was truly the dog who needed me as much as I needed her. From the moment I adopted her, we developed a routine which included her sitting on my lap in my recliner after dinner and snuggling under the covers when we go to bed to sleep. She is very loving and respectful. Luna has brought me through a very dark period in my life. I didn't think laughter, love, or joy would be part of my life ever again. She keeps me entertained and makes me laugh with her antics and her unconditional love. She never fails to impress me with her level of intelligence. She talks to me and gently taps me with her paw to let me know what she needs. She has taught me that life does go on and grief does not have to stop us from living. Our match was truly made in heaven, and I thank God every day for bringing her into my life.
Oh, bravo. And the previous owners or caretakers of Luna, do they happen to know the story? Are they aware of that?
Yes, we do. We do always. We always keep the families updated on what you know, of what happens with the animals. They always, of course, brings them peace of mind as well to know that their loved one is being well cared for. And you know, sometimes people tend to get a little judgy sometimes, and they'll say, "Well, I just don't understand why their son or their daughter that wouldn't take the animal." I mean, there's circumstances that are in place sometimes that where people just simply cannot, and it doesn't make them a bad person. It just means that circumstance is the circumstance. And so that's why we're here, to help come in. But to make matches like that happen, it's such a beautiful thing. And I feel so blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah. And I would venture to say that in any circumstance with taking on an animal, that's a responsibility, and you don't want to make it in haste. Or an emotional decision's an emotional decision, but you want to make sure it's a well thought out decision and that you're going to be able to do the best for the animal. And if somebody else can step in and do that, that's better. Everybody's better off. Real quick, you mentioned birds. I'll quickly say, and you might know this already, birds tend to live a long time.
Yes, they do.
And if you're owner, caretaker of a bird, make sure you have a plan for the bird regardless of your current life circumstance. Because birds, even tiny birds, but particularly the larger parrots, can live a very long time. We've got several shows archived about that topic. So
yeah, we actually encourage everyone to have a plan for their pet regardless of your age or your health status, because honestly, at the end of the day, anything can happen at any time. So we do want to make sure you don't have to be in hospice to have a plan for your pet. We'd like you to have a plan regardless. And we're happy to share our pet planning guide with anybody.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That is absolutely awesome. And I will refer listeners to Duncan Strauss's talkinganimals.net for some resources on that as well. You mentioned community partners and how people can help with your program.
Yes, absolutely. So as we were kind of speaking off air earlier, there's really three main ways that people can support the Pet Peace of Mind program. The first way is donations. We're a nonprofit, and it is an underfunded program, meaning that we do not get reimbursed. This is not something that, we get a reimbursement for. So Chapters Health pays for this. Our foundation pays for this. So donations are wonderful, both monetary and in kind. And I'll let Austin here in a minute tell you how to do that. The second way is to volunteer. We need volunteers. We need, like I said, you got to get out there. You got to walk those dogs. We got to change those litter pans. We got to get those animals to the vets or the groomers. So we need volunteers to do that. And the third way is through community partnerships. You will not have a successful program without that. Like I was speaking about earlier, that vet who gives us that free boarding, maybe a groomer who wants to give us a discount, things like that. So, if you have a vet, a groomer, a boarding facility that you work, closely with, or you take your pet to, and you think maybe they'd be willing to work with us as well, we'd love to hear about that. And again, you can reach out and contact us, but I'm going to throw it over to Austin for that information.
Yeah, like she said, donations in kind. And of course, if you want to donate money to the organization for Pet Peace of Mind, you can go to chaptersfoundation.com/PPOM donation. And you can also call 813-871-8444.
I'd like to give a quick shout out to Bayshore Animal Clinic. I actually found out about your program because they were having a fundraiser. So there are animal clinics and individual organizations that put on fundraisers. I think we talked about this on the phone, Diane, about I guess somebody wants to put on a fundraiser for you, you'll let them do it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Okay. Absolutely. Call us up.
Call you up. Okay, perfect. We're talking to Diane Anderson and Austin Mudd, speaking about hospices, Pets Peace of Mind program. and ways you can help. And one thing I always like to mention when I'm talking to organizations about Bright Futures volunteers, if a student is old enough, perhaps mature enough to go into that situation, is there a way they can earn Bright Futures hours?
Yes, we do take volunteers ages 14 and up. So there will be kind of a limited different things that they're able to do or not do. Like we can't send them into a patient home, that sort of thing.
Right.
But we do take them 14 and up. And again, you can go to the chaptershealth.org website, click on volunteer and apply. And then the coordinator from their area will be in contact with them.
Awesome. Speaking, let's go back quickly before we're out of time to when a person's final days have ended and the pet's there. You were speaking about having a plan in place. When there is no plan in place, what's your fallback or your option at that point?
Right. So we do use foster homes.
Okay.
Again, if you want to be a foster parent, please. We can never have enough foster parents. We do use our foster homes to place the pet into temporarily. There was a couple of cats that we had actually not too long ago named Anakin and Vader. So if you're a Star Wars fan, you'll recognize those names. And they were with their foster for quite a while, quite a good while. And we really did get creative on the marketing, I think. We did the Skywalker Chronicles, and you can actually read those on the Chapters Health Pet Peace of Mind Facebook page.
Okay.
So you can just literally just search Chapters Health Pet Peace of Mind on Facebook, and that's a great way to find out what animals we also have available and things like that. But all their chronicles are on there. And they're very lighthearted and very funny. And we did actually find them a wonderful home. So yes, we do use the fosters for those situations as well. Or like I said, the boarding, if someone wants to give us free boarding or discounted boarding. But we really like our absolute last resort is shelter. And we really, there's no wood in here right now to knock on. We really don't, send animals to shelter. We did place 33 pets last year and help over 150 families on our services.
Wow. Well, please repeat the Facebook information. I know a lot of people like looking at the stories and the pictures and then perhaps can pick up some information looking at the Facebook.
I'll let Diane talk about the Facebook, but if we want to go back to the volunteer opportunities, you can go to chaptershealth.org if you want to volunteer in the Tampa area. And as Diane said, you can reach out through there to find some volunteer opportunities, and the coordinator in your area will reach out. And if we wanted to talk about the way to donate, if you wanted to get involved that way, you can go to chaptersfoundation.com/PPOM donation, and then you can call 813-871-8444 if you would like to just learn a little bit more about the Pet Peace of Mind program and other ways you can support it.
Okay.
Yeah, the Facebook page is just Chapters Health System Pet Peace of Mind, and you'll find it. And like I said, it's a great way to see that some of those stories. It's a great way to see what we have available. I'm going to do a plug here. We got some Chiweenies. We have some Chiweenies, like a lot of them, that need home. That's a Chihuahua dachshund, if you didn't know. So if you're interested in one of those, actually hit me up because we have quite a few of those that we are looking to place right now. So, but it's
who
a great
way. Who doesn't want one
of those? Yeah, right? Okay, good. I'm glad to hear you say that. You want one?
I have a cat that's bigger than any Chiweenie you can, we'll talk later. Let's see, is there anything else that we might need to cover before we say goodbye?
I think we've done a good job here talking about it. I think, again, just the ways to get involved, you know, donate, volunteer, or if you have a community resource that you'd like to share with us. Again, we are growing the program in this area. It is a very successful program in many of our other affiliates. One of our affiliates is actually currently the holder of the National Pet Peace of Mind Program of the Year Award. And it's the second time winning it in 3 years. So we do run the program very, very well in some of our other affiliates, and we are growing in this area. And we need the community's help to do that.
Yeah, and just real quick, WMNF's signal goes a bit further south than it goes north, but we're easily heard up into Hernando County as far south as well, south of Sarasota, not so much east. You're probably going to lose a signal about the middle of Polk County. But in that general area, Central Florida, you had mentioned that you or the volunteer manager for that area. So just give us an idea of like what, I know your eyes are getting big.
My eyes are getting big, yes.
Yeah. Or where people could reach out to if they're not in the Tampa Bay area.
Sure, yeah. Well, in the Polk County area, we do have Good Shepherd Hospice there. We have Cornerstone Hospice. We have HPH Hospice and then Life Path Hospice. Would probably be the ones in those coverage areas.
Yeah. Right? Life Path Hospice is here in Hillsborough County,
right.
Our
I'm
affiliate
familiar.
For the Tampa okay. area. And I believe you mentioned HPH Hospice in Hernando, Pasco, and Citrus County, our affiliate up there. And then, you know, as she said, Cornerstone, when you get a little closer to Orlando.
Well, thank you so much. I've prefaced this show by saying I think it was very important, and I really appreciate your time and giving listeners an insight into making a good plan for the rest of their days, taking care of their animals. So before I tear up, I'm going to play some music, and you can hang around for a bit. We'll show you around the station, and I'll make a few announcements, and we'll see you in a few.
Well, thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
On the road that'll walk. Dust and the dirt and the memories settle all of our troubles with time. Farewell, I will see you again. I know it's not like we're saying goodbye. We will all like jewels from the sky. On the road that'll walk you to heaven, there are mountains and valleys to cross. Take comfort and hope, 'cause the angels will find you and never
to let you know, we were just speaking with Diane Anderson and Austin Mudd with Pet Peace of Mind, a program that is provided through hospice, Chapters Hospice specifically, but all hospice affiliates can direct you to their service. And it's a program that gives you peace of mind when caring for a loved one. I wanted to mention quickly, if you do have items to donate, there are many, many, many resources, places you can donate to. I know firsthand about Hillsborough County Pet Resource Center will take just about anything that you want to donate, pet-wise, a crate, leashes, things like that. Life's Treasures Thrift Store, which is affiliated with hospice, will take your pet paraphernalia, and also animal-based charities on South MacDill has a big selection of pet paraphernalia, so you can shop or you can donate. Right now we're listening to Baby Elephant Walk while we celebrate Henry Mancini's what would have been his 100th birthday this week. You've been listening to Talking Animals. My name's Beverly, sitting in for Duncan. We're going to leave you off with a bit more music and a few announcements.
let them dig for oil and gas. You might have had to turn the place to an exotic game ranch. You might have had to do all kinds of things to raise the cash so you'd always have cows around. Well, how else you gonna lose it all like Daddy did? What else will make sure you leave nothing for your kids? It's too late now, you know it is. You might as well admit that you've a badly flawed in sentimental masochisticness, and that despite all the statistics and the advice that you get, you will always have cows around. Yeah, everything is better with cows around. Living in town sometimes brings me down. Well, you won't know what you're missing till you hear that sound. May you always have cows around. May you always have cows around.
That's Cor Blund. The song's titled Cows Around. Before that, we heard Henry Mancini with Baby Elephant Walk. And we ended our interview with Walk You to Heaven, a song by Beth Nelson Chapman. I want to thank Diane Anderson and Austin Mudd again for coming in and presenting their information for the Pet Peace of Mind program that is organized through hospice. And if you want more information about hospice, about volunteering, finding out about the Chiweenies that are up for adoption, please go to chaptershealth.org. And there's many locations, a lot of information on their website. And there's also the national website for Pets Peace of Mind, which is petpeaceofmind.org. I will make a mention that if you put in peace of mind for pets, it'll take you to the same place as well, because I've stumbled over that a couple of times. But Pet Peace of Mind is the proper name for the hospice program that keeps pets in the lives of their patients for as long as possible. I'll mention quickly that Duncan has done many shows, or at least two notable shows, on making sure your animal is cared for after you're gone. Petty Hoyt, an attorney specializing in estate planning, was on August 26th of 2020, and her estate planning includes pets. And then Amy Shever, founder of Second Chance for Pets, which encourages and helps pet owners make plans for their animals' ongoing care, caring for your animals after you're gone. These both, that's August from 2019, both of these interviews can be found on talkinganimals.net, and as well as all of Duncan's interviews from the many years of Talking Animals he's done on WMNF. I want to thank Duncan for this opportunity to have these very important guests on today. Duncan's off spreading goodwill and animal joy across the nation. We're going to leave you off with a bit of Ruthie Foster. Ruthie Foster is one of the headliners at WMNF's Tropical Heat Wave this year. She will be performing at the Cuban Club patio early in the evening. This is Ruthie Foster. Oh, I do have one more announcement I want to make, so I don't have to cut into Ruthie Foster. The Humane Society of Pinellas County presents their Happy Tales event on April 18th, that's tomorrow. The annual Food, Music, and Friends event takes place at Ozona Blue Grilling Company, 125 Orange Street in Palm Harbor. Adoptable pets, lots of good food and music will be taking place. You can find out more information at humanesocietyofpinellas.org. Here is Ruthie Foster. See you at Heatwave.
like masses. Evil minds that plot destruction. In the fields, the bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind. Poison it that brainwash minds. Oh Lord, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Politicians hide themselves away. They only started the war. Why should they go out to fight? They leave that role to the poor. Oh, Lord, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Time will tell on their powered mind, making war just for fun, treating people just like pawns in chess. Wait till their judgment day comes. This world stops turning. Ashes where the body's burning. No more pigs have the power. Hand of God has struck the hour. Day of judgment, God is called. For their sins, Satan laugh and spread his wings.
You're listening to Ruthie Foster on 88.5 WMNF Tampa. My name is Bev. I've been sitting in for Duncan today. Thank you again to Diane Anderson and Austin Mudd from Pets Peace of Mind. Please check them out online. And come back next week when Duncan's here. In the meantime, you can check out talkinganimals.net, or this show will be archived on WMNF.org Wednesday at 11 a.m. Stay tuned for NPR News.